competition. Thank you.
You played a very solid first set with break and break back and finally won it. How important was this first set?
Very important.
I think it was, I guess so.
Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't sort it out, and I'm glad that I was able to break her, and then I played with the wind. It was a little bit windy. So very important, and I'm glad it happened that way.
I want to ask you one more question. When you came to Paris last Friday, you have the draw. When you saw in the first round you play Maria Sakkari, you said maybe, whoa, it's going to be a tough first round. And you start the tournament with a great win against Maria, a former semi-finalist. And this match gave you a lot of confidence, I guess.
Yeah, when I saw it, it was a little bit funny because we played two years in a row. I knew it's going to be very tough. We played on the same court, so it was like a deja vu. But great match. I'm happy with the way I played and how I was getting through the tournament. So it's just a great time here.
Karolina, you are the first semi-finalist qualified now. And next round, you will play either Svitolina or Sabalenka. Are you the kind of player who said, I'm going to watch the match on TV, or you don't want to watch?
I don't even know. I don't know what time they play. It depends where I'm going to be. I think I'll for sure watch the match. I don't know if I will watch it live. Let's see who's going to win. And I'm sure it's going to be another great match in 2 days.
Once again, congratulations. And it's always a pleasure to see you on the court.
Merci.
Mesdames et messieurs, Karolina Muchová, première qualifiée pour les demi-finales.
Karolina, congratulations. First Roland Garros semifinal. Just talk about the match today and how you were pleased with your performance.
Thank you very much. I think today I played great from the start of both sets, and that for sure helped. Nastia was playing very, very aggressive, and maybe here and there, I would say, pretty risky. And it was going to the court, then here and there was a few mistakes that helped me, and as well I started well the sets, and then I finished them well as well. So I'm pleased about that, and great that I won in two sets.
When you've had your runs to semifinals of Australian Open, quarterfinals of Wimbledon, felt like you got there and kind of were a bit physically gassed in a few of those runs. How are you feeling physically as you head into your first Roland Garros semifinal?
When I compare it to those before, I feel great now. I think that I played last few matches were just two sets. That for sure helped to save some energy. And now I have a day off tomorrow, so I feel pretty good.
Do you feel like you're a different player on this surface this year? The numbers seem to say that you are. You have a 9-2 record and reached your first Roland Garros, second week now, and then all the way to the semifinals. Is there something different happening for you on this surface?
Well, I think year by year, at least I'm trying to be a better player on all the surfaces. And this year I had a great tournament in Rome before. I had a great preparation. Here I started well, and with matches, I gained some confidence. And of course, now I'm feeling better on clay.
Karolina, you had a pretty crazy draw here starting your tournament against Maria Sakkari. I just wonder if you thought now in retrospect that having such an important match in the first round, such a tough opponent, has actually helped you get into this tournament.
I think overall it helped to beat such a great player, top 10 player. It always helps. It was for sure tough because it was a first round, and first rounds are always tricky, and to play Maria in the first, I think it was a tough draw for both of us. Glad that I was the one who left the court as a winner.
Karolina, just speaking to a lot of commentators and pundits, everybody loves obviously watching you play and the variety and the way that you kind of play your game on the court. It seems a little bit of a throwback, kind of the style of play, serve and volley, all that sort of stuff. Can you talk about the foundations of that game? Like, did you look up to a player and want to play like that? Or was it purely, this is how you like to play? Did a coach teach it to you? Can you just talk about how you came to play this way?
Yeah, thank you. I think it was always a little bit like inside of me. Like, since I'm a kid, I was very, I like the great game in everything. I was very competitive and I like different things. Even though if I look back on the videos when I was really young, you would still find me going to the net and playing drop shots. So it was, I would say, always there. Of course, then later, when I was a little older, I was looking up to Roger Federer. I think I'm repeating myself a little bit, but yeah, I liked his aggressive game and coming to the net and slices. So for sure, I took something from that and from other players as well. Yeah, and now we just, I like that game and we try to work on it to make it better. And so... So yeah, it works on big stages and against great players. So yeah, I think there is still a lot of space for improvement in that as well.
You will make a big step after this tournament in the ranking. Where do you see yourself in the future? Where is the limit? Do you see yourself as a top 10 player?
I don't really think about these things, like where I see myself. I'm really glad for this run and that I got my ranking a little bit better than it was. I mean, end of the last year, I was, I think, around 200. So this is very nice and it will for sure help me coming into another tournaments with a seeding and all. But yeah, I mean, sky's the limit, you know, but I'm not really thinking like I can be number one, I can be number five. I just take it step by step and I'm really glad where I am now and I'll try to push my limits for sure. And who knows where the limits are.
Carolina, I think earlier in the tournament, you were talking about kind of reuniting with your old coach and that you guys were trying to, yeah, tap into the creativity of your game and kind of refine that. I'm curious because players who are like that have so many different options and don't so many different things, there's some of them try to put discipline on that to try and, you know, make sure that you're doing it in a disciplined ways, and others are trying to kind of change their intuition so that they make the right shot, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. How do you see that, and how have you and your coach approached that with respect to elevating your game?
Yeah. You know, my coach is very, he's, how to say it, like, we always communicate a lot about the practices, and we make plans together. It's not like he would really tell me to play this or that, so he always leave that on me. For sure, we are trying to get the focus better, and that's what I talk after last match to take the first options as well. It's even though it's here and there, it's not the best choice. That's why there is always a second and third, and then I pick it, and you know it's not the best shot. So we are just trying to play this in the practices, just to be focused on the point and go what's the first thought. It's tough to work on this, but discipline for sure helps to have discipline as well, like everywhere, and then to put it on the court. That's, yeah, that I could for sure be better disciplined, but yeah, we are working on it.
Aryna Sabalenka is currently serving for a straight sets win against Elena Svitolina, so I just figured I'd ask what your thoughts are about potentially facing her in the semifinals. I think you guys met a long time ago in 2019, and what are your overall impressions of what she has been able to do this season?
Yeah, what can I say? She's a very, very great player, very aggressive, tough match ahead. I'll try to do my best to find a way how to make it complicated for her.
Carolina, because you're so calm, I have to ask, does this feel like a big deal? Like making the Roland Garros semifinals? Or is this just, I don't know, is this just one additional step to your tournament? How are you kind of feeling it, approaching it?
Oh, I'm really, really happy with the semifinals. So it's not like I'm just, you know, like whatever. It's a really great result for me, so I appreciate it a lot. Of course, I'm still in the tournament, so I'm trying to, you know, focus on another match, and the tournament starts here. So that's probably why I'm, look calm however you would call it, but I'm super, super pleased with the way this tournament is going.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Sabalenka reaches up with the first serve, misses down the tee, takes the ball from left side of the shorts that she's wearing again, just runs the hand through the hair, get rid of all those stray wisps. Second serve, set point, serve up wide, the back out, it's a moon ball, lofted, doesn't find the court, and with the first set point, she got the break with the first break point, she's closed out the set with the first set point. I think she'll find that's a pretty comfortable 38-minute first set, 6-4 in favour of Aryna Sabalenka. Crowd trying to give Svitolina one last push. As for Aryna Sabalenka, it is match point number two. Serve out wide, the backhand cross court and wide, centre of the court goes Sabalenka, not enough on that for the Belarusian, goes cross court and the slice through the centre from Svitolina, the off forehand approach from Sabalenka, it drops over, here comes Sabalenka into the open court.
Sabalenka,
she's booked her place in her first Roland Garros semi-final. She does it in straight sets, she does it in just shy of an hour and 40 minutes.
Alina, micro de sélectivité numéro 2 mondial, les deux fois finalistes ici à Roland Garros, Alex Correggia.
Alina, congratulations. Full house, unbelievable conditions. And against Elina, I don't know if it's better because you need to do a lot of things to win the point, or would you prefer that she also push you a little bit more because she's such a tough competitor. Congratulations.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. She's such a tough opponent, moving well, and what she's doing after giving a burst, it's impressive, and big respect to her. But yeah, it was a tough match, and I'm super happy with the win, and atmosphere was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and supporting us. I mean, we all know that you're waiting for Novak, but still, I'll take it like it's for me. Thank you. Thank you.
How do you go with the tactics? Like, you plan it before, but then when you are sitting here, you're changing. It depends on the score. Or you just go for it because you are such a powerful girl, doesn't matter the win or not the win?
I feel like for me, it's better to focus on myself, on the game, on my game. And if I feel like I have to go for my shots, then I will go for it no matter what the score. And yeah, I would say that, I mean, of course we prepare a tactic, but during the match, depend on the score, depend on the game, you can change it a little bit. But for me, most likely, like, I would focus on myself and go for these shots.
And you are now in the semifinals of Roland Garros. You, before, maybe, you didn't have that much patience on yourself, on your game. But now, watching you play here on this court, it seems like you are born on clay almost. You feel like nearly a clay court specialist.
I mean, honestly, when I was a kid, I practiced a lot on the clay, more than on the hard court. I don't know why everyone thought that I'm a hard court specialist, and I feel very comfortable on the clay. And yeah, hopefully I can go as far as I can here at Roland Garros. I really enjoy playing in front of you guys, and I just want to stay here as long as I can and bring my best tennis, make sure you guys enjoy watching us.
Now, I don't want to keep you long. Last question. But now that you have more experience in these rounds of slams, is it difficult to deal with the day off, or is it like, oh, I need to wait 40 more hours to play?
No, actually, I like to have a day off, an extra time to switch off, to forget about tennis for a little bit and just enjoy the city. And I like it. I like it to have a little extra day off for recovery, for switching off. So for me, I like it more like this way.
We wish you a nice recovery. Good luck for the semifinals. Mesdames et messieurs, Arina Sabalenka qualifiée pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
Arina, you're into the semifinals here at Roland Garros. You must be pleased with your performance today. Just talk us through what you were most happy with.
Yeah, it was a very tough match, and yeah, I'm super happy with the win. Just super happy to be in another semifinal.
Hi, Arina. At the end of the match, you went over to the net and you waited for Lina to come over, but you knew that she wasn't going to shake your hand. Why did you do that?
I don't know. It just was an instinct, like I always do after all my matches.
Congratulations, you have lots of fans around the world and they call you the Warrior Princess. So in what ways are you a warrior? In what ways are you a princess? And what will it take for you to become the queen here at Roland Garros?
I think I'm just, I really feel, I'm really thankful for people to call me that way. I just feel like I'm a fighter, and it's not like separation. It's just like I'm a warrior princess, meaning like I'm a great fighter. And I mean, I don't know, to become queen in Roland Garros, I just have to keep focusing on myself, on my game, and try to bring my best tennis every time I'm on the court.
Du Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Still two set points, 40-15. He stands a little bit wider on the juice court. Just aborts the ball toss for a second. The wind ripples across his shirt. Big serve down the tee. Djokovic returns on the backhand, but he pulls it into the tram lines. And after 56 minutes, Karen Khachanov of Russia takes the first set against the two-time champion Novak Djokovic. 6-4.
Khachanov serves. Set points against him. Backhand Khachanov. Djokovic with his two hand up the line. Chipped by Khachanov. Brings Djokovic into the net. A drop shot. Khachanov will get there. Goes cross court. Djokovic reaches for the backhand. Puts it away nonchalantly. He knew that set was won. And after 2 hours and 3 minutes, it's one set all.
The three set points he has now for a 2-1 lead.
Djokovic serving down the centre, 400 return. He serves and volleys. Backhand from Khachanov, an attempted lob, but Djokovic smashes it away. You probably heard the sound of that.
Djokovic.
As he is right on top of the net. Throws in the odd serve and volley. And when you have 40 love set point, why not? And Djokovic takes the 2-1 lead. And you have to say, it'll be a surprise if he doesn't win this in four. 3 hours, 38 minutes. Novak Djokovic at match point. He serves down the middle. An ace. Just lifts the racket above his head, waves, and hits a loose ball into the top tier of the stand. They like hitting it into the top tier. They know that many of the true tennis fans are up there. Warm embrace at the net. Khachanov gave everything, and for nearly two sets, an upset looked possible. But you always know against Djokovic that he has the power to come back.
Novak, congratulations. The first two sets were so difficult. Then you play an amazing tiebreaker and things change. What did you tell yourself?
Well, it was also due to his quality of tennis. I think he was a better player for most of the two sets. I was struggling on the court, I think, to find my rhythm. I made a lot of unforced errors and kind of came into the match quite slow, quite sluggish, you know. But, played a perfect tie break, really. And from that moment onwards, I think I played for a couple of levels higher than I did at the beginning. And, a little bit of a scare towards the end of the fourth set. But, I managed to win 8 points in a row to finish it out. So, you know, it's a big fight. It's something that you expect. Quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. You know, you're not going to have your victories handed over to you. You got to earn them. So, you know, I'm just glad to overcome the big challenge of today.
Nice. And Novak, please answer yes to this question, but your hands are so good. Have they always been this good, or your hands and your feel getting better with age? Please say yes.
Thank you, Mats, but I think I missed quite a couple of really, really easy shots today. Actually, I think it was 15-all and 4-3. Easy put-away backhand.
Yep, saw that.
So these things happen, you know. I guess sometimes it works really well, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, against the players like Karin that is very aggressive, has big serve, you know, maybe doesn't move as well. So I try to expose him, try to, you know, play quite unpredictable for him. A lot of drop shots, change the length and so forth. I'm running down the whole tactics for you now. But, yeah, it worked in the end. You know, it was a big fight. It always is. I have lots of respect for Karin. He's a great fighter, great player. I wish him all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Yes. Une dernière question à français. Un mot sur l'ambiance sur le court Philippe Chatrier, sur le public. Yeah.
Philippe Chatrier, c'est un stade, un des plus belles stades du monde de tennis. Donc, c'est tous les jours plaisir d'entrer sur cette cour, de faire bien. J'espère chaque fois je me prépare pour les parties sur cette cour que je peux jouer mon meilleur jeu. J'ai vraiment beaucoup de belles sensations sur les cours aussi. La sensation avec beaucoup de tension, mais je voudrais remercier à tout le public pour votre présence et votre soutien. Merci beaucoup.
Merci Novak. Merci. Well done.
Merci.
Thank you very much.
Do you think that the perfect tiebreak was the key to turning the match around?
Yeah, it was probably the turning point of the match. Winning the second set or, you know, losing the second set would be quite a big difference. Probably two different matches in one match today. First couple sets, probably the worst two sets I played so far in the tournament. And then the third and fourth were quite good, so yeah, I kind of held my nerves in the tiebreak of the second play, the perfect tiebreak, really. Amazing tiebreak, you know, every single point I played it in a perfect manner. So, you know, that gave me confidence boost and I started swinging through the ball a bit more, feeling more comfortable on the court and played a really good third set, had things in control till 4-2, 15-40 in the fourth. Then played a bit loose 3-4 points. Then I complicated my own life, by losing the serve in the next game. But managed to regroup very quickly and play the perfect 8 points to finish the match, yeah.
You've been quite critical of yourself, I think, over the last 10 days and your performances, but you've only, you know, you're still here, you're in the semi-finals. How difficult is it going to be to try and lift your level over the next couple of days so that you can be at your best in a semi-final where you'll definitely face someone who's at least been to a Grand Slam final, if not won one?
Well, look, you know, you have to try to be at your best on a given day. Everything was going in the great direction, and then, you know, I stepped out on the court today and probably part of me stayed in the locker room. I mean, that's how I felt and that's how I played. But also credit to Karin for serving well, playing well, but you know, I made so many unforced errors and just had a terrible start. But that happens, and the good thing about Grand Slams is that you even if you lose first couple of sets, you still have a chance to win. It's not the first match that I managed to turn things around. This kind of wins, you know, I think serve as a great confidence booster, you know, mentally, So also physically and emotionally for me, you know, it's important to win a match where you are, you know, you were losing or you were being down, and then you came back and won a match. So especially at the latter stages of a Grand Slam against the top players. Now I have a couple of days off, which is 2 days actually, which is good, I think, you know, to recover, recover all the energy, physical energy as possible, and then give it all on Friday. And, you know, of course, it's a big success. You know, yeah, I am self-critical, but I'm also, of course, content with the result. You know, I have to be. You know, it's semifinals of a Grand Slam, and it's exactly where I want to be. So, you know, hopefully, I can have another win on Friday.
Novak, you and Carlos have kind of been missing each other over the last year at tournaments. If it is Carlos that you play, how much will you relish that occasion? And also, a lot of players have talked about the kind of joy he brings to tennis, and I just wondered, what do you think he's brought to the sport?
Well, he carries himself very well. I mean, no doubt, very nice guy on and off the court, and brings a lot of intensity, of course, on the court. Reminds me of someone from his country, you know, that plays with left hand. He deserves his success, no doubt. You know, he's working hard, and he's a very complete player already, and only age, 19, 20. So we played only once in Madrid last year. It was a 7-6 in the third for him. We haven't played since, and yeah, you're right. You know, most of the tournaments this year we were not in the same draw, but here we are. You know, if it comes to that match, that's the match that, you know, a lot of people want to see, and it's definitely the biggest challenge for me, you know, so far in the tournament. And if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. So, you know, he's definitely a guy to beat here. So I'm looking forward to that. But he has to win against Tsitsipas. Let's not forget about that. We cannot disrespect Stefanos, who has played, you know, finals here, and he's top player for many years. So let's see what happens tonight.
Ready?
Radio Roland Garros.
Night sessions. Let's start.
Radio Roland Garros.
Sessions on Radio Roland Garros. Wonderful!
Set point number three, half an hour played. Still light, sun still shining as it dips and it slows down for Alcaraz to pick his spot, which he does, but Tsitsipas is there. He cannot control it, and there's the set. Wow, what an impressive set of tennis that was from the young man who's just 20 years of age, the youngest man since Novak Djokovic in 2007 to make his way to consecutive Roland Garros quarterfinal. Time violation, okay. I think he's fine with that. He thought it was something he said.
Yeah, not
he,
yeah.
It was just the clock wound down. He was still chatting away. Oh, dear me.
Sure. Deuxième manche, Alcaraz.
And I find it quite startling that from what we've seen from Alcaraz, no one clapped at all. That's the end of a set. I think everybody is shocked at what they're seeing. You have to admire what you're seeing from Alcaraz, which is absolutely stunning. But at the same time, it's not nice seeing what's happening to Stefanos Tsitsipas, who has been dismantled. 6-5. A point to win it. Serves out wide on the angle. The back, he comes in, serve volley, cushions volley, he flicks it into the corner, the snap back, the volley is a winner! Game, set, match to a very special young man, Carlos Alcaraz, through in three. There's an embrace between the two. There are words exchanged between the two, but Carlos Alcaraz comes through in straight sets. There's the cry of Vamos, and there is the appreciation from the crowd. What have they witnessed out here today? Absolutely stunning. 2 hours, 12 minutes, your winner, Carlos Alcaraz. What a performance. How special was that from Carlos Alcaraz?
The Roland Garros set. This podcast is brought to you by MasterCard.
It is day 10 of the second Grand Slam of the year, Roland Garros. And as we reach the quarterfinal stage, we continue to have sun, spectators and great tennis. Hello and welcome to Night and Day at Roland Garros. It is the business end of the competition. And with that in mind, here for you is what we have for you on tonight's show. Sabalenka stays in the race to be world number one. Djokovic reaches his 45th Grand Slam semi-final. And it's the ticket to have the Roland Garros night session. And featuring in that night session this evening, the penultimate one because they stop after the quarter-final stage, we have a young man just 20 years of age who also happens to be the world number one. So Carlos Alcaraz, he came on site. I mean, look how much stuff he's carrying. But he came on site today at 1:46, fully prepared for what lies ahead with his team around him. Nice and early just to make sure he gets everything done. And we'll be hearing from Alcaraz, who is the youngest player to reach consecutive Roland Garros quarterfinals since Novak Djokovic did it when he was a 20-year-old. Now, he'll be taking on the fifth seed, Stefanos Tsitsipas. Now, he arrived at 6:45. It doesn't mean his alarm was late and he's getting in too late. He actually trained off-site across the road at Jean-Bouin, the training facility. It's close by, but it's a very, very different environment in terms of building up to this evening. And the good news is that we're going to be hearing from them both a little later before they take to the court. But before we get to the night session, let's look back on the action that has been completed and start with the first player to book their place in this year's semi-finals. It's a match between Karolina Muchova and Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, two players with rankings that don't reflect their talent or experience, both coming back from injuries. Pavlyuchenkova, as you know, is a former runner-up here in 2021, having an absolutely amazing run, using a protected ranking, a special ranking to get into the tournament. And Muchova, a second time for her. In the second week of Roland Garros, and she was looking for a second Grand Slam semi-final. The ability for Muchova, the Czech player, to hit any shot. She has this incredible ability to improvise, and would you believe that she says that clay is her least favourite surface. Now, it's a fourth Grand Slam quarterfinal, had so many injuries. She actually said at Indian Wells this year that she has to take it easy and she has to think about her body a little bit more because she doesn't want those niggles to come back. But look at how she slid up to that ball to thread the ball down the line. She moves so well across the surface. There's Karolina Muchova. She was 43 in the world. She was the player that wasn't seeded that no other player wanted to meet, and for just cause. And live rankings with this win moves her up to 19 in the world and moves her into her second Grand Slam semi-final, the first coming at the Australian Open 2021. It's so nice to see the smile on her face. She's been working a lot with the former player Kirsten Flipkins. I like to play the guitar in the spare time to relax. But I think best of all, it's good to see both of these players back fit. For Pavlyuchenkova, she's going to break back into the top 100, the 31-year-old, very soon. She should be very happy with what she did here. But for Muchova, what a great win. She's through to the semifinals, and she had this to say when she spoke on court post-match.
Thank you very much. I don't know more what to say. It's been incredible 2 weeks, and I'm just glad I'm still in the competition. Thank you.
You played a very solid first set with break and break back and finally won it. How important was this first set?
Very important. I think it was. Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't start it out, and I'm glad that I was able to break her, and then I played with the wind. It was a little bit windy. Very important, and I'm glad it happened that way.
Muchova to face the winner of Aryna Sabalenka, the world number two, and Alina Svitolina, another player here on a protected ranking, playing her first major since becoming a mum. Now, the first set for Sabalenka, 6-4. Sabalenka broke on the first break point at 5-4. She closed out with her first set point. The early stages, though, of this second set. Now, that were the players trading breaks. Went a little bit off the ball, Sabalenka, and the defense of Svitolina was just drawing the errors from the Belarusians. So a topsy-turvy middling part of this second set. First Roland Garros semi-final Aryna Sabalenka was looking for. She's also looking for her 34th match win of 2023. They hadn't met since 2020 and their head-to-head was tied at one apiece. But so much has happened to both the respective players since, with Elena Svitolina becoming a mum and Aryna Sabalenka becoming a Grand Slam champion. But with this win, a 12th straight Grand Slam win for Aryna Sabalenka. And as I mentioned, 34 wins for the year. That is one more than she picked up in the whole of 2022. She closed it out with her second match point. And would you believe, only three women have won their first five or more Grand Slam quarterfinals in the Open era. She joins with her five wins from five, Ann Jones with six, and Chris Evert with 48. So Aryna Sabalenka is in very, very good company. She's still on course to be world number one and to be Roland Garros champion. We will hear from Elena Svitolina shortly in her press conference, but first off, on court, your winner, Aryna Sabalenka.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. She's such a tough opponent, moving well, and what she's doing after giving a burst, it's impressive, and big respect to her. But yeah, it was a tough match, and I'm super happy with the win, and atmosphere was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and supporting us. I mean, we all know that you're waiting for Novak, but still, I'll take it like it's for me. Thank you. Thank you. Physically, I was trying to come back because obviously not playing, not taking the racket for 8 months. You need to work on everything to play again at the good level, to be able to compete against top players, try to, you know, to improve everything, starting from the serve, and ending with the physical, mental conditions. You know, everything is just has to be started again. That's why I'm really proud of the of these past days that I've been playing lots of intense matches, a lot of matches where I showed a good level of tennis, and just lots of things positive from this from these matches that I played in Strasbourg and here, of course.
So the first women's semi-finalist set. Still plenty of people here enjoying the early evening sunshine, because I do believe this has been the hottest day of the tournament so far. That was the bottom half of the women's draw. Karolina Muchova will take on the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Sabalenka still in the hunt to be world number one. Now let's move to the top half of the men's draw. And you heard Sabalenka say there, you're only here to wait for Novak. Novak Djokovic duly followed that meeting between Elena Svitolina and Aryna Sabalenka. It would be a 10th meeting against Karen Khachanov, the Russian. Now 8-1 in favour of Djokovic, and outside of that one win in nine previous meetings, Khachanov in the Djokovic wins had taken just the one set. So it was a big moment at the start of this contest, because Novak Djokovic had got to the quarterfinal stage without dropping a set. He's played once in the night session. The rest of those matches have come during the heat of the day, so it's a tough ask for Karen Khachanov. When you look back at his record, you have to go back to the second meeting for Khachanov to pick up a win. But he took the set from Novak Djokovic. But unfortunately, then you can see a whitewash in the second set tiebreak. 7 points in a row for Novak Djokovic, the two-time champion who's looking for Grand Slam title number 23. Wasn't totally settled, Djokovic. I think the tiebreak put him in a slightly better mood. Lovely, delicate touch. Able to open up the court, get the winner, and get the job done in the second set. And a little bit of relief and good thinking from the Djokovic box. 3 hours and 38 minutes on the clock, and Novak Djokovic in his 14th consecutive Roland Garros quarterfinal, which is a tournament. He's got the tournament record over Nadal of 17, a 55th Grand Slam quarterfinal. He would move into his 45th Grand Slam semi-final. That's one behind Roger Federer. In a 12th Roland Garros semi-final, that's three behind Nadal. He now has 90 wins at Roland Garros, Novak Djokovic. It is the top half of the draw. He showed what he could do coming from a set down. He's moved into the semi-finals. And he was in a good mood when he spoke to Mats Wilander on court after the win.
Well, it was also due to his quality of tennis. I think he was a better player for most of the two sets. You know, I was struggling on the court, I think, to find my rhythm. I made a lot of unforced errors and kind of came into the match quite slow, quite sluggish, you know. But, yeah, played a perfect tie break, really. And from that moment onwards, I think I you know, played for a couple of levels higher than I did at the beginning. And, you know, a little bit of a scare towards the end of the fourth set. But, you know, I managed to win 8 points in a row to finish it out. So, you know, it's a big fight. It's something that you expect. Quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. You know, you're not going to have your victories handed over to you. You got to earn them. So, you know, I'm just glad to overcome the big challenge of today. Je vous remercie à tout le public pour votre présence et votre soutien. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, Novak. Merci. Well done. Merci. Thank you very much.
He is a man of many languages and a 45th Grand Slam semi-final and 12th here. They are absolutely incredible numbers. The entertainment has started behind me. The crowd are making their way in. The players will be out in around 10 or 15 minutes time. And we're going to be looking ahead to tonight's session very shortly. But you have seen so many, I'm sure, good moments, points and shots through the course of the tournament. And I have a feeling that tonight we're going to put together a highlight reel of all the standout moments. But here for you is the moment we decided on from day 10. If you get it done with a tween, it is always going to qualify for moment of the day. Well done to Karen Khachanov. Now, we saw the players tonight's session arrive a little bit later. Remember, we pointed out that Stefanos Tsitsipas has been preparing off-site across the road at the training facility Jean Bouin. For the world number one, the 20-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, he was getting it all done here. So he arrived at 1:45, and then he was in the gym. His coach, Juan Carlos Ferreiro, just, I think he's looking up at one of the screens there. This was 4:47, and that stretching's not actually as easy as it looks, but it's the preparation that these players, it's the stuff you don't actually normally see, but it's what they go through. Don't just walk out on court. They spend so long getting their bodies just right to try and avoid injuries. They all have their different routine, different things that work for them, different things that they need to work on. But there was a good amount of time spent in the gym, and as you can see, there's not many people in it as we're getting down to the final stages of this competition. So Carlos Alcaraz, age 20, in the gym a little bit earlier. Now, I hope you've been enjoying our Never Have I Ever series as much as I enjoyed putting the questions to the players. The good news is that we have more to come. So here for you, the latest series of revelations.
Who is that?
Hugo Humbert.
No way, really?
I probably have, but it's, to my defense, it's not like maybe a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. It's more like maybe if I get a gift from the tournament here in Roland Garros, like a t-shirt.
No, I don't do that.
You're sure, yeah? Not even a tournament gift, something?
Oh, of course, tournament gift. But this is to make my friends happy.
I have. In Roland Garros last year, I had like 10. Not 10. I didn't have enough room in my luggage.
Oh, I don't know, 5, 6 for sure.
Okay. It's not too, we've had more, so that's
good. Yeah?
Yeah.
What? No.
Ah, si, si, si. Ah, si, si, si. Yes, yes.
How many?
A lot. But all the Grand Slam.
Yeah. But what?
Because I like to give some gift to my family.
Everybody said yes when it came to taking more than one tournament towel away with them. Now, earlier today, the 17th edition of the wheelchair tournament got underway here at Roland Garros. And in a change in the singles event, they've actually expanded it from 12 players to 16. And leading the way for the women was world number one, Dida De Groot. Now, she is bidding to win, and these numbers are quite phenomenal. Her 10th consecutive Grand Slam title. She's a two-time defending champion at Roland Garros and a three-time singles champion overall, absolutely phenomenal, Dida De Groot, what she is doing in the sport. And today, she reached an impressive, an incredible milestone by beating her opponent, the Frenchwoman Emmanuelle March, 6-2, 6-2. She made it, you can see in the back of the shirt, 100 consecutive tour-level wins with a trophy presented by tournament director Amelie Mauresmo. Stunning numbers, but she has a way to go to match her countrywoman Esther Vergeer, who went on a 470 match win streak. Look at that bunch of flowers. Have you ever seen anything bigger? That is impressive, but it's deserved for 100 consecutive match wins. Alfie Hewitt's got a way to go to get there, but he's the top seed in the men's competition. He was up against the Dutch player Tom Egberink, and Hewitt, like De Groot, is looking to win a fourth Roland Garros singles title. Now, Hewitt won the title here. 2017 was the first time. He loves playing on the clay. Then 2020 and 2021. Didn't reach the final last year. Shingo Kinyeda came away with the title. Shingo Kinyeda has since retired and does hold the record, the Japanese player, for the most singles titles at Roland Garros at 8. But I'm sure it's a number that Alfie Hewitt is eyeing up. And this is the perfect start against Egberink to his challenge. He'll also be contesting the doubles with his partner, Gordon Reid. And there was a win for Gordon Reid. And you can keep up to date with all the results and when the matches are via RolandGarros.com. There's also an app that you can use to follow all the action here at Roland Garros. But a really good day. There is still tennis being played across the courts, across the site on day 10 at Roland Garros. Now, ahead of the night session, we thought, before we get stuck into that, it would be good to round up the moments from, shall we call it, the day session.
We all know that Paris is a city of love, and the love is there even when I'm on the court.
Right, to one of the hottest tickets in town you can get on a Tuesday night. It is, of course, for the penultimate Roland Garros night session. And this evening for you, we have a fifth meeting, a repeat of this year's Barcelona final between the number one in the world, Carlos Alcaraz, the number five, Stefanos Tsitsipas. And we've been following their journey for you since they arrived on site a little bit earlier. We saw Carlos Alcaraz in the gym. Now we're going to take a look at their final training session. And again, you're going to see the contrast between the two. We'll start with the world number one. And look at that round of applause, because this was in fact a public training session. He was out on court around 5 o'clock, having done everything he needed to do. Now a little bit more of the gym work. So fourth career Grand Slam quarterfinal for Alcaraz. His numbers this year, 1-34, lost 3. He's 24-2 on the clay, and he's also picked up 4 titles this year. The youngest player to reach back-to-back Roland Garros quarterfinals since Novak Djokovic in 2007. And again, this practice played out in front of full stands. He would sign autographs and pictures at the end and have that trademark smile on his face. And we were very lucky that once training was complete, we got to get a few words with the world number one.
I think everybody wants to see this match, you know, both... We are coming playing at such a great level, high quality. So I think everybody gonna enjoy this match. And of course, talking about myself, I'm gonna enjoy this match.
Now the contrast is that with Stefanos Tsitsipas training at Jean Bouin, you can also see it there, just having a little chat with someone he knows. But apart from that, it's quiet. There's silence. It's his father, Apostolos, the only voice in his coaching box after Mark Philippoussis and the team parted ways. He said there were too many voices, so just dad out there. But this is a training facility across the road. So Tsitsipas looking for a first win against Carlos Alcaraz, 2021 runner-up. He's 6-0. He's never lost a Grand Slam quarterfinal match. And he's won 12 of his 13 sets at this year's championship. It was just that set dropped against Yuri Vesely in the first round, and he's been building momentum ever since, and he's still looking for his first title of 2023, but a different build-up to Carlos Alcaraz. But once again, we were lucky enough that once his training was complete, he said a few words about appearing in tonight's night session.
Not really, just gives me more time to prepare. I mean, as you saw me here this afternoon, I might have had a few more hours to rest, so I wouldn't say anything negative about it. It's just I would say that night sessions are kind of exciting because you get a lot of crowd involved. You know, it's late night. It gives you opportunity to all different kind of time zones to be involved in rivalries like this. So quite exciting on that.
Thank you so much.
That was a little bit earlier. Now, I have touched on it, but if you are a Tsitsipas fan, maybe just cover your eyes or look away for a couple of minutes as we take a closer look at their head-to-head.
You know, have a tough competitor on the other side of the net that fights, that gets creative, puts a lot of attention to detail, and I just need to fight on it.
And thinking that I'm playing a great level is such a good energy for me.
Now, we are very close to the players walking out on the court. You can see there Philippe Chatrier. But firstly, by the end of tomorrow, the semi-final lineups will be complete. Angevin starts things off against Beatrice Hadash-Meyer. A third meeting between the two. 6-0 Świątek against Coco Gauff. A repeat of last year's final. Then Sacha Zverev, Thomas Etchery, and Holger Rune against Casper Ruud. A spicy rerun of last year's quarterfinal in the final night session. But now to the moment we've been waiting for. The arrival of the players onto Philippe Chatrier for the night session.
Match comptant pour les quarts de finale du tournoi messieurs Roland Garros 2023. Premier joueur entré sur le court et cinquième mondial aujourd'hui. Il était finaliste ici en 2021. Il est grec, Stefanos Tsitsipas. Il rentre en compagnie d'Elanor. Et il s'est opposé à celui qui n'a que 20 ans, déjà vainqueur d'un grand chelem, l'US Open l'an passé. Il est espagnol numéro 1 mondial, Carlos Alcaraz.
A wonderful reception for both players out onto Philippe Chatrier behind me. We have an exciting, intriguing night ahead of us. I'm sure we'll have a highlights reel, another one by the end of it. Might see a little bit of that for you tomorrow. If you'd like to follow the action many ways across social media. And right now on Radio Roland Garros, we're building up and we will have ball by ball comments. We are with you through till the very end. I hope you can join us at the same time tomorrow when we will have almost nearly completed our semi-final lineup for 2023. But until next time, enjoy the action and we'll see you again tomorrow.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast was brought to you by MasterCard.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
it, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
We'll convert with the first of these set points. She's ready, and she serves. Oh, it's a great serve. Oh. Flew up straight at Pavlyuchenkova, who couldn't control her backhand return. It lands wide. And Mukova lands the first heavy blow in this quarterfinal. She's taken a first set that, well, it had a lot of twists and turns and ebbs and flows and all those sorts of things. But Mukova has got it done by 7-5. Match point number two for Karolina Mukova. The wind swirling a little bit.
Oh, she went for it. She was trying to go to the tee as an ace.
Yeah, she did.
Missed it in the other box.
By a little bit.
Second serve.
Pavlyuchenkova just steps forward a little, sways, and watches as the second serve comes to her forehand. Big return. Pushed back into play on the forehand side by Mukova, who goes up the line to the backhand of Pavlyuchenkova, who's missed. It's gone wide. And that means that Karolina Mukova goes through to the semi-finals at Roland Garros for the first time in her career. A nice little hug at the net between the two players. But it's Mukova's day.
Karolina Mukova.
Here's Fabrice with Karolina.
Karolina, congratulations. Another great match. Another semi-final in the Grand Slam, but the first one here in Roland Garros.
Thank you very much. I don't know more what to say. It's been incredible 2 weeks, and I'm just glad I'm still in a competition. Thank you.
You played a very solid first set with break and break back and finally won it. How important was this first set?
Very important. I think it was. Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't sort it out, and I'm glad that I was able to break her, and then I played with the wind. It was a little bit windy, so I'm very important, and I'm glad it happened that way.
I want to ask you one more question. When you came to Paris last Friday, you have the draw. When you saw in the first round you played Maria Sakkari, you said maybe, whoa, it's going to be a tough first round. And you start the tournament with a great win against Maria, a former semi-finalist. And this match gave you a lot of confidence, I guess.
Yeah, when I saw it, it was a little bit funny because we played two years in a row. I knew it's going to be very tough. We played on the same court, so it was like a deja vu. But great match. I'm happy with the way I played and how I was getting through the tournament. So it's just a great time here.
Karolina, you are the first semifinalist qualified now, and next round you will play either Svitolina or Sabalenka. Are you the kind of player who said, I'm going to watch the match on TV, or you don't want to watch?
I don't even know. I don't know what time they play. It depends where I'm going to be. I think I'll for sure watch the match. I don't know if I will watch it live. Let's see who's going to win. And I'm sure it's going to be another great match in 2 days.
Once again, congratulations. And it's always a pleasure to see you on the court.
Merci.
Mesdames et messieurs, Karolina Mukova, première qualifiée pour les demi-finales.
Karolina, congratulations. First Roland Garros semifinal. Just talk about the match today and how you were pleased with your performance.
Thank you very much. I think today I played great from the start of both sets, and that for sure helped. Nastya was playing very, very aggressive, and maybe here and there, I would say, pretty risky. And it was going to the court, then... Here and there was a few mistakes that helped me, and as well. I started well the sets, and then I finished them well as well. So yeah, I'm pleased about that, and great that I won in two sets.
When you've had your runs to semifinals of Australian Open, quarterfinals of Wimbledon, felt like you got there and kind of were a bit physically gassed in a few of those runs. How are you feeling physically as you head into your first Roland Garros semifinal?
When I compare it to those before, I feel